That's right. We're still looking for a few good men. Well, Dave Rice was sitting back with me a few minutes ago. As far as I know, he's the only other former Marine here, but well, there he is. Dave, hello. Well, I like that. What was it? I've got the blessed belief that baffles the Buddhists down in the depths of my heart. We'll have to take that back to Asia. There are quite a few Buddhists there. Actually, it was good to hear Sito Wing Hong. I first met Sito out in Singapore. I always wonder why he doesn't open his eyes when he speaks. He's praying, yeah. There he is. My old buddy. The Asians say that when God made man, you know, he had a big oven, and he put the first bod in there and turned on the heat, and after a little while brought him out, and it's just kind of a pale face, you know, white man, kind of anemic looking. So he turned up the oven just a little bit and put the next bod in there, and a little too hot, and out came the black man. But then he had it figured out. He turned it just in between, and of course, the third time out came the Asian.
Amen. So,
well, I'm living presently in Manila with my family, my wife, Joyce, and our four children. And we've been back out this time for the last 3 months. This is our third term out in Asia. And I keep moving. I tell the guys that that way we can keep ahead of the IRS and the bill collectors. But we've had time in Okinawa and then time in Japan and time in Korea. And now down in Manila. And we've had a good time this week at this International Strategy Conference. And it'll go until the 31st, I'm sure. The fellows have already told you that. And then I'll head back and we'll get some time with our staff in Japan. And then back down to Manila. Well, let's see. John Ridgway told me a few days ago that I was supposed to speak this afternoon on building. So I've been doing some thinking and praying about this, and I'd just like to title this God's Building. I think we should have a word of prayer before we get started. I don't know if we prayed or not, but let's just bow and ask the Lord to quiet our hearts and speak to us this afternoon. Our Father, now we do want to just be attentive to what you may have for us this afternoon. As the word is shared and as we listen to this little word, we pray that you'll help each of us to make personal application. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, leave some things down in every guy's heart that will be used by your Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've lived in three of the world's largest cities. Little Tokyo with, I don't know how many are there now, I suppose 12 million plus. And then over in Seoul, Korea, which is 6 million plus now. And finally into Manila. And Greater Manila is 10 million. So it's interesting being in these large cities and just observing some of the buildings. You know, buildings in cities have personalities. For instance, if you were a Japanese and you wanted to meet one of your friends in Tokyo, you might say to that person, "Hey, look, I'll meet you over at the Sony building in the Ginza." And this is quite a popular spot. Everybody knows where it is, and that's where you go and meet your friends, the Sony building in the Ginza. Or if I were to go into Seoul, I might think of the Taeyang-kok Hotel, where Christmas Day, 1971, 165 people died in a fire. And as I looked at that hotel, you know, many times as I drove by and saw it all gutted and the black on the out of the windows, and had a personality, an awesome personality. And then into Manila, where down in the city of Makati, just a few weeks ago, as they were putting up a building, the scaffold broke and 20 men dropped to their death. And that building will have a scar on it and have a mark. And you know, people are God's building. Especially those of us that have the right foundation in Jesus Christ. And this afternoon, I want to talk about you, about me. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Some of you have memorized that verse in 6:19 and 20. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We're temples, we're buildings. The goal in this building is like the Apostle Paul over in 2 Timothy 4, where he said, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." So, we're all going to look different. We all have a different personality. And there's an objective for all of us to fight a good fight and to finish the course and keep the faith. I left Manila on the 14th of October, came through Tokyo and then on into northern Idaho where my home is, and I spent a few days there with the folks. And just on this trip, I was just thinking back over it, I've observed a number of different kinds of buildings, Christian buildings. Just in the last couple of weeks, I saw a nervous building. I saw a building that I'd call a fighter building. A Christian that has a fighting spirit. I'm not sure how spiritual he is, but he's a fighter. I saw another building that was a frustrated building. You know, I wonder right now, what kind of a building are you? You know, as God looks down at you and me, so we're somewhere along the course. The building isn't finished yet. What would He say? As others look at us, Christians, what would they say? Two things that we want to get into today. One is, what are we building? And two, how we go about it. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. We'll consider this first title, "What Are We Building?" 1 Corinthians 3. I'll just turn this off while we read this. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? What are we building on the foundation, Jesus Christ? Now, before we get into this, let me just say that as I came through Japan and met with seven of our staff, I faced some young men that were frustrated. And I've got to get back there on the 1st through the 3rd of November to meet with the staff again. One of the criticisms that they had was, or is, that we have not been trained. We really don't know what to do in the ministry. And I've thought a lot about that since that day. And I realized that Uno-san has been to England for a year for some cross-training. You know, we do this in the NAVs. We send our fellows out to different countries and bring them back and expose them here and there. Nagai-san has been in Singapore. Sugimoto-san has been in the Philippines. Kasuda-san has been in New Zealand. Masuda-san was with Al Andrews in Illinois. Inari-san has been in the States. Ida-san has been in Singapore. Uchida-san has been in the Philippines. And this is some of our solid staff there. Godly young men and women. And yet their testimony is, we don't know how to build, how to train. Then I began to think, well, good night. Been all kinds of people through here. Lauren Sanney has preached to them. Jim Downing has preached to them. Bob Boardman has been there for 20 years. Hugh Harris is there. I lived there for a year and a half, if that meant anything. Probably fouled it up. And had five Japanese living in my home. Daryl Mason is there. They've had all kinds of training and instruction, and yet the testimony to a man, we don't understand how to build, how to train. Well, you know, we've put it in with the Western mind. The Word of God marked West. It's come into this Japan mind. And you know how it's gone out? The Word of God, West. It's come in the Word of God, West, and it's gone out the Word of God, West. They didn't understand it too well as it came in, and they reproduced it and didn't understand it too well as it went out. And now what we've got to do, and I don't think it'll take too long, we've got to translate in their mind the Word of God into Japanese. We've got to get it into their thinking process. so that it comes out Japanese. They may throw away some of our methods. Or they may do like they do on a lot of other things. And they come over and they get the little Instamatic camera and they take it back to Japan and sit around a big table and tear it all to pieces and put it back together the same way and paint it a little different color, and it's made in Japan, and they sell it all over the world, but it's made in Japan. And that's important. It has to be personalized with the individual in their own situation. Now, I'm saying this because there's a principle behind it that applies here. You can have the Word of God West going into you and never think through on it. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Or what am I doing? That guy told me to do this, and I'm doing it. And, you know, I blessed him. He'll have to bless me. And so we go ahead and we think we're getting blessed and we even reproduce it to someone else, but it may not have just the same impact because we haven't thought through on it, translated into our own minds, and then by God's grace allowed the Holy Spirit to move it out and reproduce it in somebody else's life. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Well, there are two buildings going up there. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, verse 11. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. The foundation is there. It so is by fire. You're the builder, a co-laborer with God. Labors together with God. Verse 9. Now, what are you building into your life? We can talk about follow-up. We can talk about disciple-making. We can talk about reproduction. But we reproduce after our kind. It starts here with me. What's going in here is what comes out of here. Wood, hay, stubble will burn and there'll be a loss. Gold, silver, precious stones will abide. There'll be a reward. And the little word up in verse 10. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. As far as I know, we're all Christians here. We all know Jesus Christ. At least that's the word I've been handed down, that these are a bunch of Christian men who know Christ as their Savior. Now, by God's grace, it's important that we give real thought to the building that's going on. Well, one man comes through and he gives a message on prayer. We think, boy, that was great. I need to be a man of prayer. I need to increase my prayer life. I want to build prayer into my life. And so we set an hour aside every day to build prayer into our lives. And after a couple of weeks, we're totally frustrated. I mean, what are we building prayer in for? And what's the reason behind it? Well, because of that, you know, it's important to pray. Another guy comes through and he says, gives a message on witnessing. Another one comes through and he gives a message on knowing the Word of God. And another one comes through and he gives a message on faith. And another one comes through and we put all these together and we begin to build an image of what a man of God is. We think, if I'm going to be God's building, I've got to be that. And I've got 5, 6, 7 things. I've been to a seminar. I've been to a workshop. And I'm putting all this together in a kind of a ghost. And we don't realize that probably none of the rest of us are like that. This guy speaks on his strength. Another guy speaks on his strength. And we put them all into one man. Be careful of that. Let God teach you the building that He wants in your life. We've got a little pack sack that we carry around on our back. A Christian pack sack. And we want to help this other person, and so we pull out of it the TMS and lay it on. Topical memory system. Or we pull out of it a wheel. Or a hand. Or a bridge. We've got all kinds of things in there. Boy, you know, whatever the situation is, we just reach back there and we grab a something or other, a foot or, you know. And that's supposed to build a spiritual giant. Now, guys, two things have helped me in this, to think about this a little bit. One is that I have 4 children. Dan is 16 in 2 days. He's my oldest. Nate is 4, and 2 girls in between. We're out there for 4 or 5 years in Manila. Dan will come back to the States in a couple of years. He's all finished. Come back and go to college somewhere, if that's the way the Lord leads him. That's a sobering thought for a father. And for a mother, good night, I've just got a couple of more years with my boy. And then he's gone. And Barb is coming up fast, and then she'll be gone. And what have we built into their lives? What do we want to build into their lives? That's a sobering thought. Well, praise God, 3 of them have made solid commitments to Christ and are on the foundation. But the building is so important. Well, my goal is to get old Dan to memorize 1,000 verses before he leaves home. Is that it? Not necessarily. Well, I mean, he's a navigator, son. He should have a whole bunch of verse boxes when he comes back to the States. No, my goal is for Dan to get up every morning at 6 o'clock and have a good quiet time before he goes off to school. So I say, Dan, now whatever you do, son, I want you up at 6 o'clock every morning. Meet with Jesus. Yes, sir. You know. So he's up at 6 o'clock, you know, and he doesn't know what to do. And he's a little old kid. Well, I know Dad's doing that. And what am I supposed to do, you know? Well, that may be part of it, but you see, I could be 180 out. There are some other things that I want to build into our children by God's grace, even more basic than that. Another illustration that helped me, let's imagine that the Christians are being persecuted, and they're not throwing us to the lions, but they're putting us in dungeons because of the name of Jesus Christ tied to our lives and our identification with Him. So I find myself in a dungeon. Okay? I ask this question. Is it possible to live for Jesus Christ, the victorious Christian life, in a dungeon? And I came up with the conclusion that it's possible. Okay, well, what do I need? They took away my Bible. That's the first thing they did. Good night. I can't do Bible study. They took away my verse pack. I'm ruined. Well, But I can have fellowship, can't I, with other Christians? And I'm in a room all by myself, a dungeon. Can't have any fellowship with the brethren. We're all witness. You know, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a little rusty window opens up and this guy slips me through a bowl of gold soup and clanks it down again. And before I can witness to him, he's gone. You know, I can't even witness. Well, what can I do in that dungeon to live the victorious life? That helped me. It helped me to think, what do I want to build by God's grace down into my life, in the lives of men that I'm working with, that through thick or thin, the principle remains the same. Methods may change. The principle is the same. Well, let's see. I'll put another little deal on here. All right, we're still talking about what to build. The first thing that I'd like to see built into my life, the life of my children, the life of that guy that I'm working with, is a love for Jesus Christ. I remember one time hearing George Sanchez speak down in Southern California many years ago. George was going back down to South America and he was saying, I want a young man to come along with me. And he said, you know, I'm not so concerned about a guy that can tell me all the stories about what he's done and has all the degrees behind him and all the... He says, I just want a guy that loves Jesus Christ. Boy, I thought about that. Thought a lot about that. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Good old basic verse. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. From our point of view, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We love God through Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Well, how is that manifested? Anyone have an idea on that? How is the love of Jesus Christ manifested? Yes. All right, John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. John 14:21. What's another way that we manifest our love for Jesus Christ? Yes. All right. Feed his sheep. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Is it John chapter 20, is it, or 21? 21:17. Okay, have you got it? Will you read it, please?
He said in, well, he started reading this bit. So when he finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, Do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.
Good. Thank you. Now you can go down through the scripture on this. Why is it that we want to pray? Well, this is how the love of Jesus Christ is manifested. This is one way. As I express to Him, Lord, I love You. I really praise You for what You've done in my life. That's one way. Lots of scripture on that. Commitment to Jesus Christ. Another way that we manifest our love to Him. And on and on. So I don't want to build prayer just, you know, as such in the life of my son or in that guy out in the dungeon. But behind it all, a love for Jesus Christ. Now we'll get into the prayer part a little later on how to do that. A concern for people. Well, some of these are tied together. Feeding his sheep, for instance. But over again in Matthew chapter 22, the first commandment was, love the Lord thy God. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, how do we manifest a concern or love for people? You think of some ways? By prayer. Lots of verses on prayer, intercessory prayer. Prayer is up here also, isn't it? Worship. Serving. Pardon me? Count them better as yourself. Okay. We might include that in serving. Witnessing, that's a concern for people. Giving is a concern for people.
Forgiveness.
I beg your pardon?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness, wonderful. A concern for people. So there are many ways. Well, if I just get a hold of this guy and I say, now I want to build into your life witnessing. See, he may not see the principle behind it. A concern for people. As I have a concern for people, it's manifested through prayer. It's manifested through serving. It's manifested through witnessing. So I may be in a dungeon where I'm cut off from any opportunity to witness, any opportunity to serve, but I can still pray. The principle stands the test in any situation. Number three. What do I want to build on this foundation? I want to have a clear understanding of God. So important. A concept of God. His mercy. His grace. In 1965, I was in Jacksonville, North Carolina. My wife had a breast removed for cancer in Korea in 1964, in the spring. In 65, we came back to the States after finishing our tour out there. And she began to have pains in her back. And I remember she went to the doctor, and I went into his office later on. She wasn't with me. And I said, well, this was about a year later. What's the story? He said, well, the cancer has spread into her spine. And it's terminal. Just a matter of time. I remember going back outside and sitting in my car and emotionally broken up as I realized that my wife would die soon. And God brought to mind Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I remember that just flooding my mind and coming before Him and saying, Lord, I need grace right now. I need some grace. And it was a tremendous experience because it was as if there was a bicycle pump, you know, how you're pumping up a little tire, and I could feel my heart just kind of being pumped up with God's wonderful grace. An understanding of God, so important on this foundation. Other men have lost their wives. Wives have lost their husbands. Parents have lost their children. Christians. And they've looked up at God and said, how can you be a loving God and do this? Well, they don't understand. They don't understand God, His mercy and His love. Have you experienced the mercy of God in your life yet, guys? When you've sinned, turned your back on Him? You know, mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. I've experienced His mercy so many times. And if it were not for the fact that I knew that God was a merciful God, I'd probably turned away long ago. The sovereignty of God as He works among nations. So important to understand that. One of the greatest things that we're understanding in Japan right now in the Navigator work is that the Japanese have a very poor understanding and concept of God. And we've got to do some real work in that area. They've got many gods. We've got to help them in that area. And so important, isn't it, to understand ourselves. Some of you men are just new Christians. And you know 2 Corinthians 5:17 already. You know that you're a new creature in Christ. And the Bible says all things are made new. And yet down in the depths of your heart, there's a terrific struggle going on, and you haven't admitted it to anybody else around you, but there is a struggle going on. Well, you're just like all the rest of us. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Galatians chapter 5 says that there's a war. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I remember Tom Litzenberger, a terrific young guy, met Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he began to grow. God used him in a mighty way at Geiger Air Force Base. And then he got into trouble with a gal, and we dealt with him on this situation, and he got out of it, and then he got into some more difficulty, and we dealt with him on it and tried to help him, but he had a very poor concept of himself. Even though 1 John 1:9 was clear, he just didn't get it all put together. That we're carnal by nature. Even though we're born again of an incorruptible seed, yet we have a fleshly nature that'll be with us until the day we die. And it's only as we're submitted and committed to Jesus Christ and yielded to Him that He's in control. And even though I get down on my knees and say, yes, God, I'll dedicate my life to go anywhere in the world, to be your man, to be a missionary, whatever it is, we commit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ, and the next day we go out and have evil, wicked thoughts. Really, how can we do that? because we have a fleshly nature. And there needs to be a day-by-day commitment to Jesus Christ. Well, we've got to understand ourselves. If my boy Dan leaves home at 18 and doesn't understand himself, he can have 1,000 verses memorized. And he gets out somewhere and Dad and Mom aren't around and he hasn't had it all figured out. He's in trouble. If he doesn't understand God, he's in trouble. Here's this old boy in the dungeon. Well, he's got to understand himself. He's got to understand God, that God put him there, that God can get him out. And then, number 5, how important it is to understand that Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know if that grips you or not, but I want it to grip me. I want it to be built into my life. Maybe that's why when Jesus prayed and taught the disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer, maybe that's why he said, "Thy kingdom come." Now, whatever else that means, whenever I pray that, it reminds me of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. I remember Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, said, "There are two things that help to keep me motivated and on track. One, world vision. Two, a daily looking for the return of Jesus Christ." 1 John chapter 3. It says, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Short accounts. Jesus Christ is coming. You believe that? Pray it. Tell God you believe it. Ask him to build it into our lives, to think this way. So that it isn't some far-off thing that they just thought about in the book of Acts or in some of the epistles, but let it grip me today. And the frailty of life. You know, most people think, "I'm going to die someday." But most of us think, "Oh, let's see, Grandma lived to be 89. Grandpa was 90. You know, I've got a good record in my grandparents and all. Probably I'll live to be 80, 90, you know." We don't associate death with us. We look back on our old high school buddies and half of them were dead from car wrecks and disease and war. But we never associate that with us. People are dying all around us. And we've kind of got an attitude, most of us, is, you know, "That shell never hit me. I'm immortal." That's the way you think. And you know why we think that way? It's because we have a little bit of fear of death. It's an uncertainty. I don't like to think about dying. I mean, I'm such a good guy, you know. It'd make all my relatives unhappy. My wife and children, you know, like, I don't want to think about that. Well, I'll tell you, we should think about that. Life is a very frail thing. James chapter 4, verse 14. "Whereas you know what, you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Well, I'd like to build into my life, my attitude, the fact that I may not be around for the long cruise. By God's grace, let me live today for Jesus Christ. Let me not think, "Lord, well, I'm going to get moving ahead in a couple of more months, as soon as I get over this little rough circumstance, as soon as I get by this exam and the pressures, then it's underway for Jesus Christ. That's fouled up thinking. It's today. It's today. Jesus Christ may come back today. I may die today. I don't know. But by God's grace, I'm going to live it for Him. See, I want this attitude built into me. I want that attitude built into my son. I'd like that guy in the dungeon to have that kind of an attitude. So I am in the dungeon. So they threw away the key. So I'm sick. But I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. Give thanks. So I die in here and nobody ever finds out about it for 2 years. Boy, God, you're sovereign. Boy, that guy in the dungeon can have a terrific time. He can look forward to Jesus Christ and there isn't a wall that can stop that. He can understand that he's weak. He can understand the strength and sovereignty and mercy of God. He can be concerned about people there. There are no walls to prayer. He can pray for the people on inside China, on over into North Korea, on into Russia. A concern for people crashes through every barrier that man ever set up. He can have a great time worshiping Jesus Christ in that dungeon. He can pray to Him. He can recall scripture verses and the Word can be active in his mind. These principles will stand the test. This is what I want to build in. How it's manifested? Well, quite a lot of ways. And you can do that as a little exercise. Look it over. What we really have here is me, and I've got three things going upward. There's the love for Jesus, that was number one. There's the understanding of God, that's number three. There's the fact that Jesus is coming, that's number five. And then there's three kind of downward look at the world. There's the concern for people, that was number two. There's the understanding of self. There's the frailty of life. Here I am. Oh, God, build these things in and work it out this way. That's helped me a lot. Just for me, on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's helped me to sort out a lot what I want to see in the lives of others. Now let's go a step further. How do we go about this building? See if I can block off part of this. Someone have a sheet of paper that won't show through so I can kind of open it up later on. You know, the moment that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, there are a whole list of things that happened. Now, I don't know if you've thought about that, but I'd like you to. The moment I trusted Christ, the moment I believed in Him, I was born again by the Spirit of God. That's John chapter 3, verse 6. John 14, verse 26. Says that I have a teacher. I'm taught by the Spirit. He teaches me from the moment of my conversion. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Gifted by the Spirit. He divides to every one of us gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the verses on that Let's see. It's a little foggy there. Verse 4, 7, and 11. You can look up later on. Another thing that happens is I'm baptized into the body of Christ. In other words, I'm placed into His body at the moment of conversion, in the church, in the fellowship of the saints, His universal body. Another thing, I have communion with God through Jesus Christ, made possible the moment of my conversion. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Just as Adam and Eve were communing with God, sin came and cut it off. When Christ came, that fellowship was made possible again. I'm empowered by the Spirit, Acts 1:8 and Matthew 28:18 through 20. His Spirit comes in me to give me power. Led by His Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14 and John 16:13 talks about a guide, a leader and a guide. I'm sealed by the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30. Unto the day of redemption. All of this took place the moment of my conversion to Christ. Just as a little child is born into the world, he doesn't realize that I'm a citizen of the United States. My name is Dan York. I'm from such and such a family. I have blue eyes. All of the things that are his, he doesn't understand. From God's perspective, this was all ours the moment we trusted Christ. Now, from man's perspective, there's a different story. All of these things happened at once, but from our point of view, they aren't worked out into our life at one time. And there's a growth period there. Appropriating all that is ours. Now, born again, translated into our minds, just simply means I've become a Christian. God says you were born again as far, you know, I've got the name Christian. Taught? Well, as I think about that, the Spirit of God teaches me. What does that mean? Well, to me, that comes out man. God raises up teachers who teach us through the Word of God. Pastors and Sunday school teachers and close Christian friends who teach us. Indwelt? The Spirit of God came into me. What does that mean to me? Well, from where I am, like 1 Corinthians 3:16 said, talks about holiness. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. In 6:19, as we read earlier, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And the fact that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me, well, that has holiness. Gifted? Well, that translates out to me as service. He gives gifts to those of us who know Him in order that we might serve Him in different ways, different kinds of buildings. One's a pastor, another a teacher, another evangelist, all kinds of gifts in the body of Christ. Baptized into the body? Well, now, because of that, I can have fellowship with the brethren. Before I was a Christian, I didn't have any fellowship with other Christians. Now I can have fellowship. Communion with God? What's that mean to me? Well, from my perspective, that means the Word and prayer. As I get into His Word, He talks to me. As I pray, I can talk to Him. Communion, fellowship. made possible. The moment of conversion, from his point of view, from my point of view, it's worked out in time. Empowered? Well, why does he give me power? There may be a number of reasons, but a couple of good reasons. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? To be witnesses unto me. Matthew 28. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. He gives us power to witness and make disciples. The moment of conversion, that power was there. But from my point of view, that, you know, it has to be worked out. Led, his Spirit is there to lead me. From my point of view, that means following and obeying. Sealed, God has sealed me by his Spirit. From my point of view, that means assurance. He's put his seal upon me and made me his. Well, now here's the interesting thing as we think a little bit about this. See if I can find a different colored pen here. Yeah. We're talking about not what we build, but how we build. I gave you the illustration of the Japanese and how we need to be so careful about the thinking process. Now, this is without a doubt the starting place. Really, the first thing I knew when I accepted Jesus Christ was that I'd become a Christian. But what's the second thing as we look over that little list? Where do we go from there? Well, I heard somebody say assurance. But how do I get assurance? Just turn on a button? Well, they're starting to come through. You're thinking. See, we've heard that the first thing after you become a Christian is that you need to get assurance of salvation. Do you know that it takes the Japanese, the average Japanese Christian, 1 year to get assurance of salvation? Well, intellectually, we can open the Bible and explain this to a person. We can take them to 1 John 5:11 and 12 and 13 and on. Good verses. And the guy can say, yeah, I see that, I understand that. He's got it here, but down in his soul, there are lots of things yet that he isn't too clear on. So he may not feel what he's got here. So don't be surprised if after a few months, this guy, he just runs it into the side of the cliff and he says to you, look, I don't think I'm a Christian anymore. What? I mean, we covered that. Do you remember on the third week? And remember you said, yes, you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ and he's given you eternal life. The foundation is there. You have assurance. You said, yes, you prayed that way. Yeah, I knew it up here, but well, I've been watching my life down inside and it doesn't match up and I don't think I ever really accepted Jesus Christ. I don't think I'm saved. That ever happen? Well, number two is communion. This person has become a Christian, and one of the first things that we want to see him doing is to have communion with God. To begin to talk to God. To look into the Word and begin to see. And that fellowship. There's never been that fellowship, and now he can start to have that wonderful relationship. Oh, how good that is. Well, number three, where do we go from there? Assurance? Well, we need to be taught. And it's a man that God uses to teach us. And I just want to say to just to chime on what Sito said, get a buddy that can share the word with you. Get into a good situation where you can hear the word of God on a regular basis, because God uses men to teach us. Not that he can't teach us right out of his word. We can have fellowship and we can grow, but God uses men to teach us and explain things and answer some of those questions. Well, as he teaches, what happens? We have a responsibility then to begin to follow and obey. He's there to lead us, but there's got to be some teaching before we can follow. So now I've got some things coming through. I'm beginning to get an idea of how to live for Jesus Christ, and there's an accompanying responsibility of following. And now as I start to follow, a wonderful thing happens. For every step of obedience that I take in this new walk with Christ, God floods me and fills me more and more with His Spirit. And there's a joy as every step that I take. John 14:21, we quoted earlier, and I will love him as he obeys and manifest myself to him. Have you experienced that? Boy, as you're faced with a decision, should I do that now? Or I know God says it. Or should I go there's the tug there, the old carnal nature. And you take the step, choosing against yourself in favor of God, and God floods your heart with a joy and a peace and a victory. Holiness. Experienced. You know what happens then? Assurance. Got it, Ed. Now you've got assurance. Well, you may have understood it earlier, but now as he begins to obey God and take those steps of faith, and God fills his heart with that joy of following, that holiness of life, now it matches up the intellect and the heart, and there's just such an assurance of salvation. And you know what that does? That gives a confidence. And that confidence manifests itself in a witness. Oh, I believe that a new Christian can witness. It bubbles out of his life. Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks. Number 7. But I'm talking about more than just a bubbling New Testimony. I'm talking about an intelligent heart response to begin to move out, empowered by the Spirit of God after other men. And that's based upon confidence. I'm giving you this just to look at and think about. It all happened at once from God's perspective, but it works out differently from man's. You may come up with a little different list. You may want to change it a little bit differently. That's up to you. But what I am saying is, don't just take some little sheet of paper that says, machine gun style, this is the way we do it. And you grab a hold of a guy and you, 1, 2, 3, 4, It doesn't work that way. Every man is different. And we need to think and pray. Be sensitive to that person, to his background, where he is. What we build and how we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Well, one more verse and we'll close it off. Luke chapter 14. Verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. The foundation is there, guys. Jesus Christ. And he'll never disappoint you. were anchored to a solid rock, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But what I want us to do today is to think again about the building that's going up on that foundation. Not just for today, but for the long haul out there. What's going into this life? Because surely what goes into this life is what's going to come out in the lives of others that we want to help. Now, I've been a Christian since August of 1951. I came to the Glen in 1954. And I've got a lot of conference pictures of men that were here, guys that were on the work crew. And I've looked back over those from time to time, and you know, I wonder where else so-and-so is. And I've asked others, well, you know, he married a non-Christian girl and just kind of isn't walking with Jesus Christ anymore. Well, where's old so-and-so? Well, he got involved in some false doctrine and got bitter. And as I've looked over those pictures over the years, it's been a tremendous lesson to me. Because some of you guys here, 5 years from now, will be out of the race. You won't be walking with Jesus Christ. I hate to say that. The foundation will be there if you're anchored in Christ. That'll never be destroyed. But some of you men are not going to be walking with Jesus Christ. Is it you? If you're going to finish the course, then you're going to have to sit down and count the cost now and think about the building and what's going into it. Why you're doing what you're doing. Build solidly by His grace. God will be faithful to you day by day. Understand God, His mercy and His forgiveness. Understand yourself. Get these things clear. You're in for one of the greatest, wonderful walks. I can't believe it that I'm 42. You know, I don't feel 42. I can't believe the things that have happened in my life in the few years that I've had with Jesus Christ. The many times I failed Him. But I'll tell you, I look forward every day with Jesus. And I just want to commend to you men Jesus Christ again. Encourage you to build solidly. Let's pray.